Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Marcy Cheek, and this is my show, Say What? When? Where? And most importantly, why? I've been asking why my whole life, and this month of March, springtime, I've been asking why we do a lot of things at our weddings. Since I've been doing weddings for the last 18 years, I wondered why we did a lot of the things that we do at weddings and if we want to keep doing them. And so last week I talked about a lot of different traditions, and tonight I wanted to talk about hopes and dreams and color schemes. I was standing on the cliff with the groom recently at Corona Del Mar, California, on a beautiful summer day last year. Cloudless blue sky and the deep blue ocean framing the picture. And all the guests were standing lined up on either side of the aisle to watch the bride as she stepped out of this block-long white limo that drove up. And she began her walk down the long sidewalk to the edge of the cliff. And the groom sighed a big sigh. I looked over at him. I said, "What?" And he said, "This is all for her, isn't it?" I said, "Yes, it is. It's all for her. All those plans for the dresses and the tuxedos and the attendance, the location, the limo, the flowers, the reception, everything. And you know what? In all the cultures of the world, even in cultures where women still experience suppression, it is the bride's day. And everything that happens that day, Miss Bride, should point to, emphasize, validate, and glorify you." I had a wedding at the beach today. My bride was just beautiful. And even though we did the ceremony pretty early in the morning, she had to get up at 5 o'clock because her hair and makeup was just beautiful. And her dress was gorgeous. It had a long train. She wore a beautiful veil. And she had her three little nieces walk behind her and carry her train. Now, last week, I think I told you, if you were planning to have a beach wedding, especially, that you needed to hire a professional who had already done 100 weddings. You don't want somebody doing your wedding that's just learning how to do it. And today was one of those days at the beach when the fact that I have done thousands of weddings at the beach was really important, because my decorator went to the stairs to go down to the sand at North Main Beach where we do our ceremonies. And when she got down to the bottom of the stairs, there was a 4-foot drop-off to get down to the sand. And there wasn't any sand. It was just all rocks, big boulders. You don't know what's down under the sand unless the ocean comes in and takes it all out. And a couple times a year, and not every year. It's been more true in this last couple years since we've been in whatever this big cosmic change is we're going through. We've been having huge tides, and the ocean came in and took out all the sand, and we couldn't get down there. But I know this beach as the back of my hand. And I just casually diverted the group down around another part of the sidewalk, which took us around to the main beach area where we were able to go out on the sand and do the ceremony, and nobody knew the difference. there just isn't any sense in getting everybody all upset. We just moved it to a different location without anybody even knowing that there had been a problem. So I always ask my brides what they have dreamed of when they get married. And most brides do see themselves walking down the aisle to their beloved. In fact, you know what? Walking down the aisle is probably the single most important tradition that we have. And I did a memorial service one time at a local Elks Lodge. The man who had passed had been a DJ, and he had done a lot of weddings for me, and so his wife asked me if I would do the ceremony, and so, of course, I said yes. And I was invited to the dinner afterwards, too, and I noticed this older lady sitting over at one of the tables by herself, and so I thought, well, I'll just go over and sit with her and keep her company. Well, I no more got sat down than she said, I didn't get to walk down the aisle with my dad when I got married. And I thought, wow, I wondered how old she was. I said, how old are you? She said, 88 years old, and I didn't get to walk down the aisle. I thought to myself, for probably 65 years, this woman has rued the fact and lamented the fact that she didn't get to walk down the aisle with her dad. Isn't that sad? So, after all these years, she still was holding that in her heart. It's too bad that she couldn't just have one more wedding and get to walk down the aisle. Well, I think the days have now passed when most people feel like they have to be married in a church. Some people used to think that a wedding would only be official if it was in a church. And some people do have very specific religious beliefs and then feel like they should be married in the church to honor God. And in the Catholic Church, there is the sacrament of marriage. And so the wedding then is a part of their overall religious experience. However, the spiritual definition of church in the Bible is anywhere there are two or more people gathered together in love. So this is what I use as my definition for church. And many times at the beach when I'm first starting to open the ceremony, I'll say, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my church. What more beautiful church, you know, down at the edge of the ocean with the waves crashing in the background. So you really can be married anywhere and still be married in church. I've only married one couple in a church. The bride wanted to have a real pipe organ play the wedding march when she walked down the aisle. So we rented a small little church from a local Korean Christian congregation, and she got her wish. Now, I can play pipe organ music at the beach, but it's on my iPod. So unless you're being married according to the teachings of a certain religious faith or sect, there really are no rules about how or where you get married. I mean, if you want to come to the wedding location galloping on white horses, you can. Or if you want to be married up in the air in a hot air balloon, do it. I had a couple ask me to marry them while they were under the water scuba diving. I was on a bridge overlooking the water, and they had microphones down under the water, and they said their vows in their scuba diving equipment. Because all of my weddings are either at the beach or up on the cliff overlooking the ocean or in a city or a county or a state park, on a lake near a waterfall, in a forest, at a hotel, restaurant, museum, on a boat, at country clubs, or in the beautiful backyard by the pool, or inside the home, standing in front of the fireplace. Your wedding day is your special moment, and it can be just for the two of you, or it can include all of your family and friends. It's up to you. One of my grooms was very, very shy. He would not and probably could not be involved in a big celebration that involved a lot of people, making him the center of attention. So the bride loved this man intensely. They had been living together for over 2 years, very happily. And she told me that he was a wonderful man, very loyal, steadfast, and faithful. He had a good job, and in private, he was communicative and very loving and kind. But he just could not go through any type of public ceremony, not even to go to the clerk's office at the county courthouse and be married there. So I married them in their home in front of the fireplace. He had just come home from work. He was still dressed in his work clothes, unshaven, had a beer in his hand. And during the ceremony, he was very tense and fretful. But the bride relished every word with tiny tears spilling down her cheeks. The groom struggled through the bows and even seemed embarrassed to kiss the bride when I declared them husband and wife. But in those days, I carried a Polaroid camera with me, and I quickly pulled it out, and I said, "Can I get just a quick shot for your scrapbook?" And the groom looked trapped, but then he surprisingly agreed to let me do it. And then he briefly shook my hand, carefully putting two $100 bills in my hand before letting go, and then quickly fled to their private quarters. The bride started to apologize, and I said, "Hey, don't go there." I said, "We did it. You're married." And she did have that look of bliss on her face that all brides get after the ceremony. And I knew that she had exactly what she wanted, living in a lovely home with a man she loved with all of her heart, who loved her and who was now her husband. Because after all, loving and being loved is all there is. On Super Bowl Sunday in 1996, I married a couple at the largest sports bar in Orange County during the halftime of that Super Bowl game. The bar was filled with Super Bowl fans as well as Budweiser babies. I don't know if you know what they are. And most of them were not invited to the wedding, but they all took part in the festivities with great enthusiasm. The bride and groom had put up a goalpost arch decorated on each side with lovely flowers, and the bride carried a football in her bridal bouquet. She had told me, "Football brought us together, and football will keep us together." And CBS, NBC, and Fox 11 News all came to this wedding. They loaded me all up with their microphones underneath my robe. And later that evening during the sports news show, they showed the clip of me declaring them to be husband and wife among a raucous crowd of well-wishers. So I ask you, what are your hopes and dreams for your wedding? Have you made your list yet? So take out a piece of paper and put up at the top what I want at my wedding, and start making your list. And let me just give you a whole bunch of ideas. My oldest daughter was brought to an altar in an outdoor private garden, riding in an antique wooden cart, painted white and draped with flower garlands. It was pulled by an adorned pony that her dad led down the garden path that was lined with rose bushes all aflame with roses. And the only music was the singing of the birds in the trees. And I shall never forget the singing of the birds at her wedding. At one of my weddings, the best man was the groom's sister. And the maid of honor was the bride's 20-pound Persian cat, all dressed up and adorned for the occasion. And you know what? That cat knew that she was an important part of the ceremony. at a country western wedding I did several years ago, the groom wore a real gun strapped to his right leg, along with his cowboy boots and a big cowboy hat. And I said, John, are you really going to wear that gun to get married? And he said, why, Lord, yes, woman. No self-respecting cowboy would be seen in public without his gun, especially on his wedding day. And the bride walked to the altar to the song, Do Not Forsake Me, Oh My Darling, on this our wedding day. And then after I declared them to be husband and wife, the DJ played Gene Autry singing Back in the Saddle Again. One of my brides wanted to be married in an isolated meadow in the Cleveland National Forest on a historic bridge over a bubbly mountain stream. This site was reached by a 30-minute walk through the forest, which the guests and, of course, the clergy gladly hiked. Her choice of location did eliminate some guests from being able to attend the ceremony, but it was very important to the bride to be married there, so she did it there. And the elder members of the family joined the group later on at the reception. And one of my couples chose a park where they had met and had enjoyed many happy hours of cycling and hiking. Another couple chose the campsite where they had been taking their camper for years on vacation. And another couple was married at the marina where the groom used to live on his boat and where he had loudly proclaimed for years that he would never be married. And all his friends at the marina came to the ceremony and pelted him with rice and birdseed. I did a ceremony for a Japanese couple at the Long Beach Aquarium. I stood in front of the largest fish tank in the museum. And after the ceremony, the wedding guests were allowed to visit all of the marine displays while the bride and groom took their formal pictures. And they also had their reception there. It was lovely. And my friend, people photographer Jane Roper, and I did a wedding for a couple right at the water's edge of the Pacific Ocean under the cliffs of Dana Point, California. One day while sailing along the coast of California, the couple spotted this location, and they had purposed in their hearts at that moment that that was where they wanted to be married. They told me, if we could find someone who would marry us there. Well, at that time, I was running an ad in the newspaper that said, anytime, any place. Well, the four of us had to walk nearly 30 minutes along the shore, climbing over rocks, through tide pools, along narrow ledges where I didn't dare look down, under rock arches to get to this spot. And, of course, we had to walk the 30 minutes back to civilization. And the bride and groom were appropriately dressed in sturdy tennis shoes, but I was professionally dressed in my white clerical robe and dress shoes, and Jane was also dressed professionally. And by the time we got back to the pier where we had started out, I had big blood blisters on the bottoms of all my toes, and the whole bottom of my feet were black and blue. And Jane said, Marcy, you owe me a new pair of shoes. But during the ceremony, the ocean waves crashed on the rocks, spraying us with whiffs of salt water, and the seagulls sang, and the soft breezes caressed us, and the sun created millions of diamond spotlights out there on the ocean to herald the occasion, and it was absolutely beautiful. Another couple I married at a lovely lake here in Orange County had their twin purple Kawasaki motorcycles waiting at the end of the aisle. I declared them to be husband and wife, and they walked back down the aisle and got on their motorcycles and took off riding around the lake. And another couple I married at the beach, to the amazement of the guests, ran out into the ocean fully dressed and did their first kiss on the first wave coming back into shore. So remember how we talked about wedding traditions last week? One of my brides, when I asked her what she had always wanted for her wedding, said, "Well, I was raised Catholic, and I have always dreamed of the moment when the priest would bind us with the ropes." I couldn't believe what I was hearing. "Bind you with ropes?" I said incredulously. She said, "Yes, but my boyfriend doesn't want to become Catholic, so I can't be married in the church, so I guess I won't be able to have it." So I said, "What is binding with ropes?" So she said, "Well, the priest takes a crystal rosary, and when he pronounces the bride and groom, husband and wife, he drapes the rosary around both of their shoulders." So I said, "Well, Miss Bride, if you want to be bound with ropes, I will bind you with the ropes." And she said she knew that her sister still had her crystal rosary from her wedding. And so when I declared them to be husband and wife, I wrapped that beautiful crystal rosary around both of their shoulders, and I could tell that the bride was just waiting for that moment. The groom was caught, and all the guests, most of them were familiar with the tradition, clapped and gave their blessing. And while I draped the rosary around their shoulders, I said the Native American Indian wedding blessing. It started with Apaches, and then it went throughout all the Native American Indians, and I'd like to say it for you now. "And now you shall feel no rain, for each of you shall be shelter for the other. And now you shall feel no pain, for each of you shall be comfort for the other. And now you shall feel no cold, for each of you shall be warmth for the other. And now there is no loneliness for you. You are two persons, but now you share one unity of purpose. Enter into your days of togetherness, and may they be good and long together." And what about that saying, tying the knot? One of the biggest wedding websites today is The Knot. So why do we associate getting married with tying the knot? In ancient times, the Hindu bride would tie the hem of her skirt to the bottom of the groom's jacket. This symbolized that she now belonged to him and she was in submission to him. And then later on in Celtic traditions, the bride's right hand would be tied to the groom's left hand. And members of the family would then bring various pieces of ribbons or cords, and each one would tie the ribbon or cord around the couple's wrists and give their blessing. I did a Celtic ceremony where we did do this, and every member of the family tied a different color ribbon around the couple's wrist and said their wish for their health, prosperity, children, safety, and their happiness together. So that's the tying of the knot. I had a very fragile tiny bride that wanted to do this, and her husband to be was this huge muscle bound fullback looking kind of guy, and she said, "I just have always wanted to do that." And so we tied the knot, and it was in symbolizing that his masculinity, his strength, would always make her feel safe and protected. Now, one way you can set a new tradition at your wedding is with the seatings of people. Almost always mothers of the bride and the groom are seated, but you could also seat your grandmother and a great-grandmother, or any special aunts or your sisters, anyone who has had a significant and important part in your life. I think it's just lovely if the groom seats his mother. And then the unity candle has become a sound tradition for many, many years. And at my son's wedding, 25 years ago, his father and I went up to the altar and lighted his candle. And then his wife's mother and father went up to the altar together and lighted her candle. We did this at the beginning of the ceremony, and then the pastor had them light the unity candle at the end of the ceremony. And recently, I had a bride and groom want to do this tradition this way, but the bride's mother had already passed, so this is how we did it. I invited the groom's father and mother to come forward and light his candle. And then I invited the bride's father to come forward. And then I said, in remembrance of the bride's mother, who we now joins us today in spirit, the bride's four sisters will light her candle. And then I invited the four sisters to come forward. Well, the first sister lighted the candle and said, this is for you, Mom. And she passed it to the next sister. And that sister said, this is for you, Mom. And she passed it to the next sister. And she said, this is for you, Mom. And then she passed it to the last sister. And she said, this is for you, Mom. And then she gave it to her dad. And then he lighted the bride's candle. And needless to say, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. So one of my brides was a very talented horsewoman, and she had won many beautiful and large, some over 6 inches across, sterling silver belt buckles at competitions where she and her quarter horse had performed expertly. And the groom was a cowboy, a real cowboy. He worked on a big horse ranch in Wyoming. So for the wedding, the girl attendants wore white T-shirts and black jeans with black cowboy boots and black belts and the beautiful belt buckles. And all the men also wore black jeans with white cowboy shirts and large black cowboy hats, black belts, and the beautiful belt buckles. The groom wore the bride's most special and largest silver belt buckle. And the bride wore an old-fashioned frontier woman-type dress adorned in hand-tatted lace, much like what our foremothers would have been married in this 18th century. And country western music filled the lovely backyard where they were married, under an arch covered with roses, which was right in front of a free-form pool made with huge boulders and a lovely waterfall. This wedding was simple and very inexpensive, but it was a perfect expression of their love and their interests, who they were. And music is an extremely important part of a wedding. I've had brides sing to the groom and grooms sing to their bride. One groom sang, "At last my lonely days are gone," while his 4-year college roommate played the guitar. And one of my brides came down the aisle alone with a sax player right behind her playing, "When a man loves a woman, he'll do anything." And many of my brides and grooms have had fully skirted musicians play the bagpipes. And I've had Polynesian band, harp, steel band, guitar, electric piano, ukuleles, string quartets, mariachi bands, just about everything. So, hopes and dreams and color schemes, a special location, special clothing, special music are all ways to express yourself and to have your special wedding day your way. Marcy Ann, and I just want to thank you all so much for listening. I've passed the 10,000 mark, and it's hard to believe. I think that I get You know, I do 175 weddings a year, and that just seems like so many to me. And yet to have over 10,000 people listen to me on my radio show, that just blesses my heart. You'll just never know how much it blesses me. So I want to thank you again for tuning in. And we're going to be continuing next week with our wedding theme. I'm going to talk about rehearsals and sort of wrap it up with a bunch of other ideas and things for you. And as I do welcome you contacting me, if you have any questions about your wedding, I'd certainly be glad to help you with it. My website is www.marcyann.com. That's MarcyAnn.com. My email is mcheek0509@AOL. And I also am on Facebook, Marcy Cheek, C-H-E-E-K. My music is by visionarymusic.com. I play this music all the time in my office. It's designed to help me, designed to help all of us have love and support in any area of change we have going on in our life, and it also supports health and wellness. I hear a lot of love, those deep sounds. And so for now, I'm going to say hello, aloha. And aloha means hello. Goodbye, and I love you.